Good afternoon. I want to share something from the Word of God with our church that I preached at a youth activity, and it was last month, and we saw that COVID-19 was coming, and I wanted to share something with the young people that would help them to know how to deal with the fear or anxiety that might come from this. And so I want to share with the church as well. I think it'll be a blessing to you. It's in Psalm 91. So if you want to turn your Bibles to Psalm 91 and verses 1 through 6. As humans, we are prone to fear. It doesn't matter who somebody is. There's just a natural reality that we have as human beings that we struggle with fear. It's common to man. Joshua in the Bible, a great man of God that God used to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, struggled with fear. Joshua 1:9, God said to him, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Jeremiah, another great man of God that would be a preacher, that would declare God's word to God's people in Jerusalem. In Jeremiah 1:8, God told Jeremiah, "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee." And God had to tell his leaders, don't be afraid, because the natural response of our human heart oftentimes is fear. That phrase, "fear not," in our English Bible is there 62 times. Now, fear itself at times can be humorous, and we sometimes use fear a little bit as a humorous type situation. I used to take my teens out as a counselor at the Wilds Christian Camp and take them out in the dark, and the boys in my cabin along this road that was through the woods. And I'd get them out there, and it was a hot dog bonfire night. And so they'd have hot dogs in their hands, and they'd be eating and maybe drinking some soda. And I'd take them out there in the dark, and I'd share a story with them. And I'd tell them about being joining a society as a college student, and how they took us out to this haunted house. And there it was, that old rickety-looking mansion. And there were three of us joining the society. And they said, "What we want you to do, we want you to run into that mansion at the bottom floor. And at each level of the house, we want you to light a window in the stairwell window." And so the first guy took off running. And so we're waiting there and waiting for that match to be struck. And the match light shines in that first level window. And then we're waiting. And there's nothing. And so after a while, they said, "Well, the second guy's going to go." And I was last, and I was last. I didn't know what was going on. And so the second guy goes, he takes off running. He runs across that field down into that house. And you see him flash that match at that first window. And then we're waiting. And then there's a flash of light at the second window as he strikes the second match. And then we're just waiting for that third level window, and it didn't happen. And so I'm thinking they're trying to scare me. There's no doubt they're trying to scare me. And so they say, "Well, it's your turn." So I take off running. I run across that field, and there's kind of a cellar door that you go in, and I go down in there. And as I'm going through, I notice there's kind of a light underneath one of the doors that was down there. But I go up the stairs. I strike a match, and there's two dead matches on the floor. And I go up to the next flight of stairs. I strike a match, and there's only one burnout match on the floor. Then I run to the third level, and I strike a match, and there's no burnout matches. And so I'm coming back down, I'm thinking about that, I'm thinking, what happened to these guys? You know, when I get down to the cellar, as I'm walking through, I'm reminded about that light that's underneath that doorway, and I see it, sure enough, it's there. And so I walk over to that door, and I slowly open it. And across the room, there's an older man sitting in the corner, kind of in a rocking chair, and he's rocking slowly back and forth. And I'm puzzled by this, because I'm thinking, what happened to these guys? What's going on here? And he beckoned to me. And I'm a little bit scared, you know, but and so I'm going over, and I'm getting closer, and he says, I leaned over, and he said, like that. And when I did that, that's when the can of soda got crushed and the hot dog got crushed. And they screamed. We all screamed. It was great. Fear can be humorous at times. We have a good laugh about our fears. But real fear itself can be horrible. When we really are afraid of something, it can be horrible. And God doesn't want us to go through life afraid. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." God wants us to help us to have victory over our fear. I remember as a 12-year-old going to what was called a middle school in the States, and it's kind of that bridge between P6 and S1 and that age group. And I was worried about going to school. There were some kids that kind of picked on my brother and I. We walked a mile to get to school. I carried a trombone. He carried a saxophone. And there was an old TV show in the United States called Leave It to Beaver. And it was Wally and the Beaver. And that's what they called my brother, who was about a foot and a half taller than me, and myself as we went to school. And I was just a little bit afraid to go to school. And I was struggling with that. And my mom gave me a verse in Matthew 6:34. It says, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." And I remember that verse because that verse was precious to me, and maybe my mom was, you know, that was a precious verse to her as well. But she gave that to me, and I well remember it because it was something I needed to calm the fear that was in my heart. I want to give us some verses today about fear, which I hope will be as memorable as what my mom gave me in Matthew chapter 6. And those verses are in Psalm 91 and verses 1 through 6. Psalm 91 and verses 1 through 6. And I want to just challenge us, live in victory over fear. And this is going to be a shorter message. It was, again, something I preached to the teens, but live in victory over fear. Are you living in victory over fear? Let's pray and ask God to help us as we come to His Word. Father, I pray that the Spirit of God would speak to our hearts. Father, we thank You that You don't want us to be afraid. And Father, that You would give us courage, that confidence, that security that our heart needs. And Father, we need it as adults and young people and teenagers in this day of facing the reality of COVID-19. It can be kind of fearful. And so we ask that the Spirit of God would use this message to help us to not be afraid. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. And so, first point, you don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be afraid. Not to make you afraid, but there are a lot of things that we can be afraid of. A phobia is an extreme or irrational fear or an aversion to something. And it's impossible to list the numbers of fears a person might have because really the list is limitless. But here's the most common. Hydrophobia is the fear of water. Claustrophobia, fear of tight spaces. Acrophobia, fear of heights. Ophidiophobia, fear of snakes. Arachnophobia, fear of spiders. Electrophobia, you're not going to believe it, fear of chickens. Onomatophobia, fear of names. Paganophobia, fear of beards. And point being, if you're human, you have irrational fears. You might look at something on the list and say, that wouldn't bother me, that's irrational. But in reality, fear is so often very irrational. But praise God, today we have ways to combat our fears. And the fact is, from Psalm 91, we don't need to be afraid. And we're going to kind of look at this passage backwards. In verses 5 and 6, David deals with things that he doesn't have to fear as a believer. You don't need to be afraid of night terrors. It says in verse 5, "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night." My kids and I like watching the old Arthur Conan Doyle's fictional character Sherlock Holmes in the black and white films that they made probably 50, 60 years ago. And there's a title that they have that is called Terror by Night. And I have no doubt that somebody saw it here in the Bible and they thought, oh, that's a great, scary title. And it is, I guess, appropriate for a murder mystery suspense thriller like Sherlock Holmes. And yet again, it's funny on the big screen, but in reality, God does not desire us to at night be any more anxious than we are in the daytime. He wants us not to be afraid in the day. He wants us not to be afraid at night. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. You don't need to be afraid of warfare. It says, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Back in David's day, that was warfare. That was the battle. And in our day, you don't have to be afraid of the missile that flies by night. I remember the Gulf War as a high schooler, wondering with a bit of anxiety in my heart, what's going to happen? Warfare is very scary. I was in Israel in 2017 and just walking around there with the reality of terrorist attacks taking place and missile strikes or other things taking place. You're just aware that it's not as safe an environment as we have here in the United Kingdom. It's kind of a fearful thing. We've got Russia and Iran and China and North Korea posturing and the potential that there could be war in our lifetime. But God says we don't need to be afraid of war. We don't need to be afraid of night terror. We don't need to be afraid of verse 6, illness. And this is, again, so appropriate to our COVID-19 situation. And verse 6 says, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness. You can't see illness. It's invisible. It's something that could be present, but, you know, that virus could be present, but you wouldn't know that it's there. And it's something that is potentially, in the worst case, deadly. There's an old Disney movie that we've seen in our family. It's called The Sword and the Stone. And there's a mythical character, Merlin, that's a magician. And you've got Mim, another magician, and they have a magician's duel, and they can turn themselves into whatever and combat one another. And there's two rules. One is no fire-breathing dragons, and the other is you can't become invisible. Well, Mim breaks the rules. She becomes a fire-breathing dragon, and she grabs a hold of Merlin, and there's a poof, and she thinks that Merlin has become invisible. But Merlin speaks and says, no, Mim, I'm not invisible. I am an infectious disease of some sort, and then she gets spots all over her, and you realize she's caught that disease. Illness can be scary because it's invisible. And even after it becomes visible, it can be a fearful thing. But God says we are not to fear it, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness. You don't need to be afraid of illness, warfare, night terror, and then you don't need to be afraid of catastrophe. It says, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. There could be a natural disaster that just happens. We had flooding recently down in the Midlands, and many people unexpectedly losing their homes. In other countries, there's earthquakes, like Turkey recently had a severe earthquake, and lives are lost. And it's a very, again, fearful thing when these calamities of life happen. And yet God says we don't need to be afraid, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. And even as we go through that list, we realize as we look at those things and think about those things, we think so often our heart would be prone to be afraid of night terror or warfare or illness or catastrophe. But we don't have to be afraid. And so how can we not fear? How can we not fear? Instead of fearing, just three things that this text gives us that I want to point out. Instead of fearing, just stay close to God. It says in verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So I can't preach on this text without remembering where I first saw that text at a precious time to my own heart as I slept in my grandparents' living room in Durango, Colorado. And Durango is very mountainous with rocky canyons. And in the United States, we get some severe weather and some strong thunderstorms. And on this night, as I'm sleeping in my grandparents' living room, we got one of those storms, and lightning was striking up the canyon. And when the thunder would come down that canyon, it would rumble. It would sound like a freight train. And when it went past the house, it would literally shake the house. And it scared me. But I looked up above my grandparents' mantle there in the living room above their coal fire. And there was this verse, Psalm 91:1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'm quite certain I memorized it on that night. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. If the shadow is there, what does that mean? It means that the object that casts the shadow is there as well. who's the shadow in our verse. He that dwelt in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. God is Almighty. God is all-powerful. And if present with God, then He's there. 1 Corinthians 15:27 says about God, for He hath put all things under His feet. For when He said all things are put under Him, it's manifest that He is accepted, which did put all things under Him, Jesus. And when all things shall be subdued unto Him, then shall the Son also Himself be subject unto Him that put all things under Him, that God may be all in all. Jesus, by God's authority, is over everything, and then even the Son of God is God the Father, and so war, illness, catastrophe, and all those night terrors, that's all under the control of God. Jesus knew this as He was on this earth. He knew that everything was under the authority of God the Father. John 19:11, Jesus answered Pilate at his trial. He said, thou couldst have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. He said, Jesus wasn't terrified by what was taking place. He expected it, but also the authority that Pilate had to crucify Jesus was only delegated authority given to him by God. And if God gave it to him, that was okay. And so in our life, we don't have to be afraid if we're dwelling in the secret place of God. Again, very briefly, how do you do that? Well, first thing is salvation. That there's a time where I become a son of God, where I understand that I'm a sinner, that Jesus Christ died for me, that He paid the complete price for my sin on Calvary. That He didn't stay in the dead, but that He rose from the dead, and that by faith in Him, God imputes to me righteousness and takes away my sin, giving me security and a home in heaven that is eternal, that cannot be lost, and I become a son of God. Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. But not only dwelling there by relationship, but dwelling there by fellowship, and that has to do with sanctification. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear it. My sin will never separate my relationship with God, but it separates my fellowship with God. And if there is known sin in my life today, I'm not dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. I've got to be saved, and I got to deal with my sin so that I'm rightly related to God, and then I need to obey God and keep union with God. But that being the case, if I'm saved and I'm sanctified and I'm obeying God, I don't have to be afraid because I'm dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. So instead of fearing, just stay close to God. And then instead of fearing, just boast in God. Verse 2 of Psalm 91. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. David just boasts in God. He says, all right, I'm just going to let it be known. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Have you ever talked out loud when you're afraid? You know, you trip on something in the dark and it startles you and you jump and you talk to yourself, stupid, what are you doing? That's just a, you know, I don't know, cat or something that kind of scared me. You know, sometimes we do that. If we're afraid, we'll talk out loud. If you had a real and present threat that you're nervous about in the dark, you're walking along, you might think that there's something dangerous. If they can understand you, you might say something like, don't pull the trigger yet, Bob. It may be one of ours. You know, just to kind of make them wonder as you boast about something you may or may not have with you. But as you just make a little boast to kind of dispel that fear. You know, we have a real adversary who wants us to be afraid. It's good for us to say, no, I'm going to boast in God. And so David says, I'm not afraid. God is my refuge and my fortress in whom I am saved. Says He is my refuge and my fortress. Tantallon Castle sits in North Berwick, perched up on a cliff overlooking the North Sea in Bass Rock. It's a beautiful location, but this fortress has stood the test of time. It was sacked by Cromwell about 400 years ago. But when it was sacked, it was held just by 91 Covenanters against a force that Cromwell had of 2,000 to 3,000. They held that castle. Because it was such a strong fortress and refuge, they withstood a bombardment of artillery for 12 days. In fact, they were granted quarter. They weren't killed in recognition of their bravery in holding this place, but they held it because it was a fortress. You know what? God's my fortress. Why should I be afraid? God is the one that is my refuge. And we ought to boast that out loud. Just say, hey, praise God. God is my refuge. I don't need to be afraid. Boast out loud. I'm not afraid. God is my God in whom I trust. And so David says, he is my God. In him will I trust. This God is my God. God the Father was my God to Jesus. Jesus said on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus was God forsaken because it was God's will that Jesus Christ go on the cross, the sin of the world be put upon the Son of God. But a Son of God that has been born again by faith in Jesus Christ, God will never leave them nor forsake them. So we will never say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We can only say, my God, I'm not afraid. He's my God in whom I trust. Do you trust in your God today? And so it's a boasting in God. It's a dwelling in God. And then lastly, it's a trust in God. Instead of fearing, just believe in God. Just believe in God. Verse 3 says, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. The noisome pestilence is the rushing plague. It's COVID-19. It's any disease like that. It's that understanding, hey, God's going to deliver you from that. Verse 3, verse 4, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. A shield was worn on straps on the arm. The buckler was a smaller shield that was clenched in the fist. And God is my shield. He's my buckler. David says, you know what? I don't have to be afraid of the diseases. I don't have to be afraid of the entrapments, the ensnarements of my adversary. It's fine. Because God is my shield. God is my buckler. And he lifted those up by faith. I remember in Bible college being overwhelmed at the responsibilities my freshman year. And just laying in my bunk, completely terrified. And feeling like I cannot do this. And crying out to God, asking him to help me. And it's one of the most remarkable experiences I've ever had of the peace of God just settling in. I felt like God just took me into his arms, put his arms about me, and I went to sleep. That's my shield and my buckler. You know, praise God, we can lift up against the fear that Satan wants to grip our heart with COVID-19 and the panic that's being promoted sometimes online by those that don't know God, and their anxiety and their fear can be contagious. But as believers, we can just lift up, you know what? I'm going to trust. He's my God, my shield and buckler. It's not just COVID-19. We're prone to fear. But God would have us not be afraid. We ought to live in victory over fear. How do we do that? Just stay close to God. If you're not saved today, you can accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can be brought into the family of God and into the presence of God. If you are saved, get right with God. Make sure that there's no sin that's in your heart that's separated in your fellowship with God. And then just obey God. And that being the case, you dwell with God. He's got it. He that dwelt in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And then just boast in God. Just say it out loud. If you get afraid, just say it out loud. Look, God is my shield. God is my buckler. He's my refuge. He's my strength. He's my all. God's got it. I'll boast in God. And then just trust and not be afraid. Just like David said, I will trust and not be afraid. Because God will take care of me. He shall deliver. He shall cover. His truth shall be my shield and my buckler. And so as believers, as we face COVID-19, as we face just life, may the Spirit of God give us grace to say, you know what, Psalm 91, I'm just going to rest in God. He that dwelt in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let's pray. Father, may the Spirit of God just take this short message and encourage believers' hearts. We need this in our church, Lord. I pray that we wouldn't be a people that are afraid or anxious, but Father, that we'd be a people that say, you know what, praise God. God is in control. God is over all of this. And I will dwell in God's presence. I will boast in God. I will trust in God. And Father, maybe that somebody that hears this message in their heart, they're not dwelling with God because they're not saved. They've never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, I pray that today would be the day that they bow their head before God and ask your forgiveness for their sins. Ask Jesus Christ to come into their heart and save them, believing in his death and his resurrection for their sin. And Father, I pray they know the joy of the peace that you can give, the comfort you can give, that they don't have to be afraid because they can be rightly related to God and dwelling with God, as we talked about in this message. Thank you, God, for your grace and your help. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.